The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. I'm John Walker from the Cordasco Financial Network. I'm part of Mercer Advisors. Thrilled to be back with you again this week to tackle what I think is a really important topic and something that we find is a critical component of good financial planning, but is really an underserved aspect, not only with financial planning, but just domestically here across the United States, and that's insurance. And I don't just mean life insurance or health insurance or long-term care. It's sort of the whole amalgamation of all of them, that it really is an underserved area when it comes to people's thoughts around their finances. In fact, in 2022, it's estimated that 106 million American adults were without life insurance or underinsured. That's a daunting fact. That's a significant amount of the U.S. population. And it comes from a place where there's a lot of myths. It's really challenging for people to understand the facts versus fiction when it comes to life insurance. And we find in working with lots of families that there's a real propensity for people that even if they have it, they don't really quite know or understand what it is they own and how it can serve their family's needs. So I'm thrilled to welcome in my great partner at the Cordasco Financial Network, a part of Mercer Advisors, one of our financial planners and in-house insurance experts, Mr. Ryan Fleur. Ryan, thanks so much for joining me again today.
John, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I can't wait to talk insurance. You know that.
I know you love talking insurance, buddy, and we do this a lot, and we do this in meetings. There is a lot of confusion around life insurance and insurance in general, and especially with the markets the way they are today, with volatility and a decline in market values, particularly in the equities market, it's even more critical that if you own life insurance, that you really understand exactly what it is you own and what it can do for you. We talk to a lot of people that really don't understand necessarily what it is they've gotten themselves into, right?
Insurance and life insurance specifically comes in so many shapes and sizes. Lots of times people don't really know exactly what they have, and we can help them understand, here's what you have, here is what's likely to happen, right? If you continue paying the same premium, if you pay more, if you pay less, we work through all of those different situations and work with the insurance company to make sure that we're making informed decisions. But a lot of times I might hear someone who we work with say, well, I have this contract, I have this life insurance, but yeah, I really don't pay the premium anymore. Or I just don't know why I even have this thing. I'm getting older. I just am thinking I'm going to just surrender it and just walk away. And those are really important decisions that we should be talking about. And it's not necessarily the most exciting topic. You're addressing your own mortality, right? When we're talking about life insurance, you're talking about someone passing, and that's not necessarily a fun conversation. But what you and me, John, as we work together with families, is to try to show them how insurance might be a complement to their plan. Or in some other cases, we may say that insurance policy you have is unnecessary. Let's find a different way to use those assets.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. When it comes to any types of insurance solutions where they're addressing things, they're typically to solve for problems that people don't really like talking about. No one wants to talk about getting sick. No one wants to talk about what happens if something happens to me. No one wants to talk about what happens if I die unexpectedly, right? Those are not fun conversations to have. So there's an emotional component of this that says, I just don't want to address that. It's easier to stick my head in the sand, right? But we know that failing to prepare is preparing to fail, right? That adage is out there because it rings true in this regard. If you don't address these things or have a plan in place, it could really challenge that financial situation. Look, I didn't love having to assess how much value I bring to the table for my relationship and my family, or my wife does, and trying to determine, like, what's the dollar amount I need to have to replace what they do? Because clearly they're irreplaceable to me, but there is a financial component of this that needs to be solved for. And we find in talking to families, right, Ryan, that it's very difficult sometimes to weed through the muck and the mire and understand how this can fit for you and your plan, right? And there's a lot of myths around it. Let's tackle a few of them because I know you can give some good insight into this. One of the ones that we hear a lot is that, well, what do I need that for? It's not going to help me now, right? It doesn't do anything for me now. And that's not necessarily true, right? There's things that I'm sure you can share that can speak to why that's not exactly true. And there's other ones, right, which we can tackle, which is that it's too costly, doesn't have enough bang for the buck, right? There's a lot of things there that get in the way of people maybe taking a path that might be good for them financially.
We hear it's too hard, it's too expensive, I don't trust the insurance company. There's lots of reasons that people don't want to address this, but I would challenge somebody to say, and I'll use myself as an example. If I died tomorrow and there wasn't insurance benefits going to my wife and my son, it'd be like 3 days and they'd be in trouble. If the primary source of income goes away and you don't have something there to come in and replace those assets, there's risk. Now, are you or me or anyone else that likely to die? Not really, right? Not on any given day. The chances of me dying tomorrow are extremely low, but insurance is there to protect against those things that we hope don't happen, but every now and then they do, right? People do pass away in their 30s sometimes, and that would be someone like me. I'm in my 30s. It's really unlikely that someone that age passes, but it happens. And if you're not willing to address the issue, or you're not willing to pay the cost, right? Insurance isn't free. And John, I know you've heard me say this before, but insurance companies exist to make money. And if they didn't, they'd be out of business.
Correct.
They're not giving this stuff away. However, if you work with a good team and you work with good advisors, you can get a policy that fits for you that probably isn't going to be outlandishly expensive, right? It depends on, right, how much insurance do you want to buy? $100,000 of insurance costs a lot less than $1 million worth of insurance. And if you're 70, it's going to be a lot more expensive than if you're 40. Everybody has a unique situation that they're in, and good advisors and good teams can make sure that insurance solutions complement the existing plan and prevent people from having exposure that they may not be aware of.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, and I want to kind of underscore this, right? We talk on the program a lot about risk, and we talk about risk to people's financial plans, and we talk about risk when it comes to the markets, and we talk about risk when it comes to not reaching your objectives. And I think when properly positioned and when the conversation is done well and appropriately when it comes to insurance, that's what you're talking about. You're saying, people will say to us all the time, like, ooh, that's a pretty hefty premium. And you say, it is. But what is the risk on the other side of the equation, right? Like, what is the risk for you? What if we don't do this? What if something happens? Are you prepared for those consequences? You just brought up a great example from your own personal life, which is, if something were, God forbid, to happen to you, Ryan, it would put your family in a challenging situation if there wasn't a sum of money to replace your income because you are the chief provider for your family, right? So you had to evaluate for yourself, like, that premium for life insurance is probably taking a bite out of your monthly paycheck, right? It is. It's a hard line item cost. But the risk of not doing it is greater for you and your family in your situation than not paying that premium. So for you, you made the choice, given that you had all the factors and facts of the equation, to say, I don't really love spending this, but it's the right decision because the benefits far outweigh the potential consequences, right? And I think we find that a lot of the people we work with maybe already have policies and they don't even necessarily know what the costs and benefits are, right? They don't know how it's going to serve them or how much it truly is costing them. And they're making decisions without all the information, the relevant information, to properly evaluate, is this the right thing for me, right?
Yeah, John, I think that it's absolutely true that lots of times people don't know what they have. And it makes sense, right? If you bought insurance 15 years ago, you don't remember the specific conversations that you had with your advisor or the agent, a lot of time has gone by. So I like to talk about how healthy a contract is. And some people don't really understand why I say that. And it's because it's not always black and white. A lot of times people think, well, I get the bill from the insurance company, I write the check, I send them the money, and my insurance is A-okay, right? As long as I keep paying the premium, I'm going to be in great shape. Sometimes that's true, but there's other times where it's not true. And especially this year, because of what's happened with markets, if you have permanent life insurance, I strongly recommend that you look at it, because it's probably down this year. And there are a lot of assumptions that go into life insurance when it's originally sold. So when we're projecting out over a 50-year time frame, right, John, if I'm doing a financial plan over 50 years, I'm making sure that I'm acknowledging the fact that I've got 1,000 assumptions in here. And I need to look at this plan again next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. But people don't look at their life insurance every single year. It almost never gets talked about. People don't really want to talk about it, right? For all the reasons we said already, right? I don't want to be thinking about what happens to my family if I die. That's kind of a scary thought. But please, if you have permanent insurance, regardless of whether or not you've been paying the premiums, please go look at your statement, because it might not be as healthy as you think it is. And if you look at that statement and you don't know what you're looking at, or it's confusing to you, please work with somebody who understands what you have, because it's high stakes, John, right? If you screw up and your policy lapses, that's it. The insurance company doesn't want to hear it to say, oh, guys, I forgot to write the check. Could I please have my insurance back? They're like, no.
No, that's not what we agreed to. And you broke the terms and now they're off the hook. And like you said, from the very beginning, let's make no mistakes. The insurance companies are built to make money. They provide value for what they do. But they are for-profit corporations, right? So they're looking to win when they can. And so I think that's part of the hang-up that a lot of people have, right? Is that I'm going to pay a lot of money for something I may not need. That's challenging, right? And then evaluating term versus whole. I'm going to pay all this money, and if I never use it, it's just gone, right? And we say to folks that no one likes paying for insurance until you actually need it, right? It's no fun. I mean, my homeowners is not cheap. My car insurance isn't cheap, but I do love the security of knowing that if I get in a car accident, they're going to give me a rental car and fix my car, and it's all included, and it's going to cost me a small deductible, right? I mean, same thing with your house. No one wants to pay all that insurance, because most people are never going to have a house fire. They're never going to have the roof blow off. They're never going to have these things. So you think, ugh. But the flip side is, if it ever does happen, you're protected and covered, and that's what you're evaluating, right? And so it is important to know exactly what you've purchased, if you've already purchased it, or if you're considering it, to really work with a team that has this as a part of a broader plan. Because I've absolutely heard you say this in meetings before, Ryan, which is that insurance, unfortunately, is also often sold in a way that benefits whoever's selling it, right?
Be mindful of who you're working with and what's in it for them. Because I've seen lots of cases where somebody got sold an insurance product that they didn't really need. And everybody wants to know, right? Like, once they realize that we're looking at a contract that maybe isn't in good health, they always want to know, like, did the other guy make a lot of money when I bought this? And the answer is absolutely yes. You get a commission. That's also one of the problems with servicing life insurance policies. There's no extra compensation paid to the agent 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line, right? You get paid once and you're done. So if I got my check already, I have very little motivation to go reach out to my client 5 years later and say, hey, let's check on that life insurance policy. I want to make sure that thing's doing okay for you.
It's a really critical point too, right? And look, these are the things that are layered into the industry, particularly in the insurance space, that make people uncomfortable and make it really difficult for them to parse through what they should be doing. There's an old expression, when all you've got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? And that's sort of how people think about this, especially with captured agents, right? Where it's like, hey, this is what we offer. This could be the appropriate thing for you, but how do you know? And then once you have it, Ryan, I think I'd be remiss to not talk to you about this, which is we get to folks who get to the other stage of life where they've reached retirement and now they're looking at it and saying like, well, I don't need this anymore, right? They see the line item every month when they make the payment. Mm-hmm. And they've lost sight of whatever it was designed for, or they don't really understand what it was designed to do. And they're making decisions based on cash flow needs and not on how it fits within their overall financial plan.
Yeah. If we have good information, that's how we make good decisions. So when you are trying to make decisions with only half the information or not, maybe you have something, you're misunderstanding something, you've got to make sure that you've got good information. And the best way to do that is work with a qualified team and call the insurance company, ask lots of questions and deal with being on hold, because you will probably learn something after you talk to them. The review of the policy on an ongoing basis is, to me, one of the most important things. Insurance comes in lots of flavors, lots of shapes and sizes. So if you're in a term product, right? That would be something where, John, you can buy something, a 10-year term, 20-year term, 30-year term. It protects you for that set amount of time. There is a premium during that period. It's always the same. It's guaranteed to stay the same. And that's pretty plain vanilla. They sell similar products that go for your entire lifetime. So not 30-year term, but something that goes all the way till the end of your life. Of course, costs way more money to do that. But again, as long as you write the check and you pay your premium on time in full, the policy is guaranteed and it will still be there for you. But if you're in any other type of product, whether it be a variable universal life or a fixed index universal life or whole life, those aren't always as straightforward. So you might think, well, I'm paying $10,000 and that's what my premium is. That's what it's always been. I'll be okay. I'm just going to keep paying the $10,000. If you're in a variable product, that might not be true. Maybe no premium is required, right? I love to tell people that. Yeah, you don't have to pay the premium on this anymore. It's doing great. The much more difficult conversation is, I know you thought 10 was the right number, but this contract hasn't performed as well as it was illustrated to. So you're going to need to pay $50,000 this year to catch it up.
Well,
I mean, it depends, right? It depends. If it's an unhealthy contract and it's got cash value, not where I would like it to be, the premiums are going to be big to get that thing back on track. But would you rather do it now, or would you rather find out you got a problem in the 11th hour and maybe not be able to save it at all anymore? Ignoring it is not the right answer.
That's right. Sticking your head in the sand is never the right answer, right? And so it's critical that you actually take the time, right, as you said, to inspect. And I love this term, right, to test the health of your policy or to see where it's at. But the other thing you shared that I think is really important, where a lot of people struggle, is they don't necessarily know the right questions to ask, right? They don't exactly know how to determine where they're at with what they already have. And then further, I want to get back to this, right? When we talk about, should I walk away from this, right? Because there's an inclination, right? Because people are paying money for something that they don't really see a benefit from today, that it becomes really easy to dismiss maybe what it could do for you in the future, right? And I think that's a dangerous game to play, because as you said earlier, you miss making a payment, they're not welcoming you back with open arms at the same dollar amount with the same contract. You really have to be purposeful and thoughtful if you decide to abandon a contract that you've already got.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So let's talk about that. So if you've had a policy, let's assume that it's a permanent policy, it's got some cash value, John, right? So you might say, all right, I got a $500,000 policy. I have to pay the premium every year. I hate writing the check. The kids are grown. The house is paid. What the heck do I have this $500,000 policy for anymore? I don't need it.
Yeah.
Let's say it's got a cash value of $100,000. And if you want, you can call the insurance company and say, appreciate all that insurance that you gave me for all those years. I really don't need it anymore. I'd like my $100,000. They will give you your cash value. Sounds really good sometimes to some people, right? Depends on the situation. But if you are thinking about surrendering your contract, before you do, you should know that there could be investors who are really, really interested in your policy. And instead of getting $100,000 for it, you might be able to sell it to an investor and maybe get $150,000 or $200,000. Now, that's a really complicated landscape. The jargon term would be a viatical settlement. They're getting a lot more popular. And I can share an example. I guess it was last year, John. We have a family to work with. Mom's got this life insurance. She's doing really good, right? She's really healthy. She's going to probably live another 8-9 years. But the premium to carry that insurance is like six figures. Like, it's going to cost them like $100,000 a year in premiums to keep this contract afloat.
Mind boggling.
That's a big ticket. And now the death benefit's a few million bucks, right? So it all works out. But what happened at the end was the family's just sort of looking around and saying, guys, are we really going to write checks to put $1 million in this contract if mom lives another 10 years? Like, does that make any sense for us? And they ultimately decided, no, it doesn't make sense for us to pay these crazy premiums. Maybe we should just walk away. We can get $100,000 of cash value. If we just walk away, the insurance company will give us the cash value. And we said, well, hold on a second, guys. Why don't we go and look at what the value of this contract is on the open market? And they sold it for double what they were going to get. So instead of walking away with 100, they walked away with 200. So just by them talking to us about it, working through the process, working together as a family, they ended up with twice as much than had they just surrendered the policy. So that doesn't happen every time. But if you're considering surrendering a contract, you should keep in mind that investors might want to buy that policy from you. So don't surrender your contract on a whim. Don't surrender your contract because you really just don't want to write that next check, right? You got the bill and you're like, I just do not want to write the check to pay this premium. Please just reach out to a qualified professional, talk to somebody about what you have, and you might be surprised about what the options are.
At the end of the day, you have to understand, when we talk about insurance in general, right, risk mitigation within an overall financial plan, it's looking for where the gaps are, looking for where the risk is, looking for where the holes are, looking for where things that are unexpected could really unhinge all the hard work that you've done to get where you are, or could jeopardize the future that you've built out for yourself. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes an insurance product could be a solution to solve for that. Remember, in the context, right, Ryan, of you are one of our financial planners, you model out these things for people. I've heard a colleague say this quite a bit. Think of it in terms of the crocodile in the water. You can see the eyes, but what you don't know is maybe what's lurking beneath the surface, right? And that's sort of what this looks like in the scope of financial planning, to say, look, we got to figure out just how big this risk is. What is lurking beneath the surface? And then what are your options to solve for that? And if it is life insurance, you darn well better know exactly how it works, how it's going to cost, what the value of it is. And I don't mean dollar amount. I mean, what does it do for you and your family, whether now or in the future? So, Ryan, if there's one big takeaway our listeners should take from this today, what should that be?
If you already have insurance, don't go at it alone. Work with a team who can help you make good decisions, who can help you understand what you have, and don't take it on by yourself thinking that you know how to navigate through this space and you know how to make the right decisions. Work with a team who can help you make sure that that's really the case, because insurance is complicated and typically there's no do-overs.
I think that's absolutely the pivotal point to understand. You have to know how it fits in your overall plan. You have to know all the costs and benefits and really work with someone who is a fiduciary, who has your best interest in mind, and who is making this a part of your overall comprehensive financial plan. Ryan Fluor, financial planner and insurance specialist at the Cordasco Financial Network, a part of Mercer Advisors. Rye, thanks so much for joining me today for this really important conversation.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it very much. And I'll look forward to the next time.
look forward to it as well. And if you're listening, and if you're one of the 67% of Americans who say that the pandemic has been a wake-up call for them to reevaluate their finances, particularly their life insurance being top of the list, right, of their financial health checklist, or if what Ryan and I talked about today has you saying, man, I really don't know about the health of my contract, or I really don't know what I own or why I own it or what it does for me, or even more critically, I'm not really sure what the risks I have in my plan are, well, we're here to help. You can talk to me, you can talk to Ryan or any of our great colleagues by calling us at 855-558-3500. That's 855-558-3500. Or you can email us at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. I'm John Walker from the Cordasco Financial Network, a part of Mercer Advisors. Thanks so much for listening to this week's Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com.